Okay, so we're holding here in Parshas Maaseh. It's page 895, or it's going on the pasuk of Eilu Maaseh Yisrael. So the Sfarnos says, Yirtev Moshe, Kosov Mokim Shiotze Eilov, Amok Shosimenu. He writes in every single one where they went from and where they went to. There's really no point of it. It's like if I said, they should say, I went to here, to here, to here, I would connect the dots myself. So he says, sometimes the place they were leaving was terrible and they went to a better place. Sometimes they were leaving a great place to a terrible place. And the idea of just dropping everything and moving on a turn is a very difficult. In other words, the Torah is trying to sharpen our sense of how difficult it was. They had to leave a place, go to a place, leave a place, go to a place, and the whole thing from the leaving a place to going to a place that might be worse to the packing up, to the unpacking, all of those were difficult, and this, all of it is a Shvach of Klal Yisrael. Okay, the next one is Ramban, the very famous Ramban, that many people build a shita, their shita on, as far as Eretz Yisrael. It says, "Vayurashtem esaz v'yishavtem bo." You need to clear Eretz Yisrael and settle it. Ki lachem nasat esaz v'eshes oisa. So Ramban says, "Al daiti zu mitzvahs esehi." This is a mitzvahs esei. Yitzava oisam sheyeshu v'eretz v'yirsh oisa. There's a tzivui to settle Eretz Yisrael and to conquer it, ki hu nosno lahem, v'lo yimasu b'nachas Hashem, and they should not sort of give up or despair from Akash Baruch Hu nachla. V'lo yalo al daitam l'lech zichvush eretz shino eretz ashu zosin yasif sham, and if they decide to conquer a different land, let's say they decide that Switzerland would make a much better place, so if they would do that, Yavral mitzvahs Hashem. Umash efligar abesin mitzvahs ish v'atzor shosayz menu v'yaduna kimoyred as ish v'noitz ha'asabal al-Eretz Yisrael v'chein ha'ish v'kan yisvin v'sazu. Chazal have a whole series of agadita telling you how wonderful is the Eretz Yisrael, how terrible it is to leave. This all comes from here. Ki ha'kosev hazeh he mitzvahs esei v'yachsa mitzvahzuv b'mukor mitzvahm boyo shuas haaretz. Avarashi p'yash rastas haaretz v'yashna yisam yeshveo oi v'yishavtem bo tuch l'skayim bo v'yim la'i tuch l'skayim bo. Rashi learns it's a condition. If v'yirashtem es haaretz v'yishavtem bo. If you conquer the land, you'll be able to settle it. U'mashi p'yashna v'yikar. So first of all, this is quite one of the very few Rishayim, maybe the only one, who A, actually says it is a mitzvah to live in Eretz Yisrael. Now, let's try to explain this a little bit. Nobody debates that living in Eretz Yisrael is wonderful. The Gemara and the Ksubis goes through all the milas of living in Eretz Yisrael, the Rambam and so on. There's no one that is debates that. However, the mitzvah of living in Eretz Yisrael doesn't, the Rambam doesn't bring it as an essay. When HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, Raboisai, Alu Ushur Soretz, go, now, conquer, there was an obligation that was, I don't know, temporary, but at the time. It's like every nevuah that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave to Navi, it was, do it now. Does it become one of the Taig mitzvahs? Is it Nagea when Eretz Yisrael, once we left it, or once we were thrown out, HaKadosh Baruch Hu threw us out of Eretz Yisrael? So now what? So is there an inyan to live in Eretz Yisrael? Of course, no debate. Is there an obligation to live in Eretz Yisrael? Is it a kiyum of a mitzvah? The Ramban is quite unique in it. The other thing one hears always is that it's so important that it doesn't even have to be a mitzvah. Kind of far fetched a bit. Avodah Zarah is quite important, and it has to be repeated a dozen times that it's usher. you know, learning Torah. All I mean, it's hard to say that. It's hard to say that about Yisrael, but our Kolponim, this Ramban is quite famous, and it's and in some circles, this Ramban is used as the cornerstone for the obligation of living Yisrael and so on. Okay. There is also, by the way, he says over here something about not being mo'es benachas Hashem, that a person should not look for other places better or nicer. That's also very interesting. I know that the Gedolei Yisrael were makbid not to make comparisons between, you know, to say that's much nicer here, much nicer there. It also falls under the Layimasu. That's definitely something a person can do. Okay. Next is a Ramban also that describes it describes Klal Yisrael straying to Avodah Zarah and the Goyim's conquest of them as going hand in hand. It's the Sikah ben Enechem. It says, if you don't conquer them, if you don't get rid of them, those that will be left over, will be thorns in your eyes, thorns in your sides, and they will begin to, they'll war with you on the land. So the Ramban brings Rashi, and the Sikkim is pins that will stab your eyes and so on. Behine baruhu kisikim koitzim chadim, and so on. So he says sikim means sharp thorns. Next paragraph. Avul hakavona besikim beinechem. So what does it mean? It says they will be sikim beinechem otzim tzedechem. There will be thorns in your eyes and sharp thorns in your sides. What are those two things? So Ramban explains. Hakavona besikim beinechem lehatas eschem l'tiro tabinu. The eyes are the organ that give a person direction, that tell a person where he should go, where he shouldn't go. So these, he says, they'll mislead you. V'lotiru v'lotavinu, you won't see, you won't understand. K'moy ka'sheichat yaveh pikrim. V'chein lefnei ivel esitin michsho. Adas abesenu yomar, ki yinakru einechem lehatas eschem. They're going to mislead you, lead you astray. V'lotir v'lotavina, you won't understand what's right. V'yilmudu eschem b'choltav aseem lavaz elheem. They'll teach you to worship Avodah Zarah, k'mo sh'amar le'eshev b'atzecha p'nechtir eschali kisavaz elheem. V'achesh yosichu b'neichem. Once they mislead you, v'yitu eschem lo sh'machai, then you tzinim b'tzedech, and then they'll become thorns in your side, sh'ech ivu v'tzar eschem l'ishlo v'lovaz eschem. V'achar kach v'tzor eschem sh'ichmu b'chem. So the Ramban explains that the Pasuk is warning us that the reason to conquer all of the nations and to rid it of the other nations is first and foremost because they will mislead us. They will lead us astray. And then we are going to, then they'll turn against us. And it's been a sort of, this has been a template for history. We become enamored with certain umos. We begin to imitate them. We begin to lead astray. And then they turn around against us and so on. Needless to say, Germany, communist Russia, and so on. But in Eretz Yisrael, so the reason to get rid of the other nation in Israel is first and foremost for Ruchnius, and the Gashmius follows behind. Okay, next is a Sfarnu about why Eretz Yisrael is divided by Goral. Zayisar shetipolchem benachlo, tipolchem begoral kodem shetich b'shukula. Ki begorol yo'uz lashen efila. Kimo v'alevushi yapilu gorol, v'chen hipul pur hu agorol, v'oma zeis. Ki ma shekovshu chutz la'aretz lo hutzich l'chal ki begorol. Chutz la'aretz did not need Sichon and Og did not need Goral. Uvechein chilek mechas ayat sichem v'ayibulit tigar, v'yan yosef Yeshua. V'zeh ki eretz sichem v'og ein bok tushat Yisrael. Ka'omra v'af im toma aretz achuzaschem. V'lehoya royu l'goral ashen v'ruch ha-kodesh. So Goral is a higher madrega, and that was miyuchad for eretz Yisrael. I want to explain this a little bit. Let's talk about what Goral is. There are three ways in which we could possibly divide the land. One is rational calculation. We sit down with a map of Eretz Yisrael, we look at the needs of the Shvatim, we say, Zvulun are business people, they number X amount of 50,000 people, so I guess we'll give you the Haifa Bay plus this, this, and this, and this, and so on. And next, and so on. That's one way to do it, using Seichel. The other extreme would be a nevuah. Kadosh Baruch Hu would get up and Kadosh Baruch Hu would say, okay, Binyamin, you'd get here, Yehuda gets here, Shimon gets there, and that's that. And then we have Goral. Let's explain the difference between all three of them and why Goral is miyuchad for Eretz Yisrael. A rational process is totally a this world process. We look around, we see the needs, we use a physical mind to match up the people with their needs and so on and so forth. That's totally this world. And any place that's in a very, very low madrega, that's appropriate. So just like typically we do anything this world, we do it with a rational process that's very part of a material world, and that makes a lot of sense. The other extreme is a totally supernatural process. Hashem from above says, okay, you get this, you get this, you get this. It has no shaykhs to this world. Goral is fascinating. Goral is part of those phenomena that lay at the nexus of the supernatural and the natural. So for instance, let's give an example. Imagine I win a lottery. So that is natural. You know, one person out of 100 million wins, I won it, and that's that. Let's say I start winning every week the lottery. Now, that could be either an incredibly natural process because I've stolen something, or I've cheated somewhere, or I've bribed somebody, okay? But if not, well, I can't call it supernatural. It's not supernatural in the phenomenon itself. It's the same thing. I bought a ticket. Ticket's very physical. The dollar I paid for it is very physical. The drawing is very physical, and somebody's got to win. But the coincidence of it, the sort of math behind it, it becomes something that's just forces us to see it supernatural. The same thing is true about the world around us. When we can see, look at like a scientist, like a pure scientist, look at it and see a physical world with its own mechanism and so on and so forth. And that's sort of the evolutionary scientist where they keep trying to find Minei Obey. But you explain one process, another process. But the idea that millions of pieces had to click together to become something. So we don't have today miracles in the supernatural form, and there are no Kriyas Yamsufs. But on the other hand, and if you look at anything with a microscope or a telescope, it's perfectly physical. So a human cell is a physical entity that works by itself. It's got everything and it works. But how did all those pieces get together? So the most important and significant perspective is dafk over there, because that's where a physical and somebody who's totally in physical world, cousin of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and he is over Avodah Zarah, Mekatzetz Benetias, whatever language you want to use. A person who's totally supernatural, there's no shaykhes to this world. So yes, there's God, and God is bigger and stronger this world, but God hasn't come into this world when he does Kriyas Yamsuf. He's overstepped this world. But when things happen within the context, and so on and so forth, when nature seems to play along, that's really where the focal point of what Hashem is. it Klai's on the Midbar was supernatural. They didn't, it wasn't natural. The Mon and the Be'er and all that stuff. So they were told where to be. Reuven sit here, Shimon sit there, Levi sit there. That doesn't connect to this world, and it wasn't meant to connect to this world. Eretz Yisrael is a multidimensional entity. It's physical, and it's got many, it's got all the properties of a being, but it works with different set of laws. The lottery ticket winning is not dictated by statistics. So Goral is the most appropriate way of yashing at Israel, is that we cast a physical lot, but on the other hand, we are doing something that is above and beyond. It's clearly the pattern, so to speak, is clearly beyond this world. There's a very fascinating, once we're talking about Goral, there's a fascinating Rabbeinu Bechaya in Pinchas, in Parshas Pinchas, in last week's Parsha, where it says, Al pi ha-Goral techolek nachloso, that it's not divided by Goral. He says a very interesting point. He says, Goral is a very, very effective mechanism because it avoids machlokas. And the truth is, in halacha, you have it also like that. You know, when you have two people that are equal chiyuvim and kadeshim, you go by Goral. When things come to a draw, you cast a lot. And it's a fascinating psychology. Why? People are okay with God bettering them. They have a hard time with another person bettering them. So if I come with you, Yoni, to a Din Torah, and you present your argument stronger than me and you win, so I resent it because you bettered me, and there's no way in the world that I'm happy with that. But let's say they throw a goral and a voice comes out that Hashem says you should get it. So then I say, okay, Hashem wants it that way. I don't argue with Hashem. It's easier. Halachically also, you're memashkin, you're not mashkin chatos. When a person has an obligation to Hashem to bring carb, whatever it is, you don't need to enforce it because a person will live up to his promise. When you promise somebody else you'll pay him, those are the type of promises that are a little bit difficult to keep. And a lot of it has to do with me and the other person. There's a story of Reb Chaim Briska, his grandson, I think, Reb Yoshe Ber tells over. I don't remember if he was the one that was involved or maybe. I don't remember already. He was father, but it was a personal story. There was a butcher who came with a shayla, with his animal, and the dayan, it probably was not Reb Chaim, he trafed it. And it was a very, very big expense. The person took it in stride and said, if it's safe, that's this, and didn't sell it, and it was fine with it. A few months later, they came to Reb Chaim Briska for the entire to butcher with somebody else. This person lost. He was furious at Reb Chaim, stalked out, and wouldn't talk to Reb Chaim, and so. Erev Yom Kippur, Reb Chaim told, it could have been his son, Reb Moshe, I don't remember if who was the one that went with him, but he said, you know, I'm not mechuyev al pidin to be mefayis this person, but it's Erev Yom Kippur, let's be mefayis him. You know what? Let's do lefim shazidin. Reb Chaim goes with whoever was to this person's house, and to the butcher's house, the butcher knocks on the door, but says, yeah, what do you want? He said, you know, you had the Torah, now you're very upset, I'd like to mefayis you, I'd like to ask mechila. So the butcher said, Mechila Shmila, Rebbe, I want the money back. So he was very shocked. The person went, yes, Reb Chaim, I don't understand it. The person lost a lot more money when you trafed up the animal and he took it in stride. Why is this so? So Reb Chaim said, because when I trafed up the animal, nobody else won. Here, somebody else won. What bothers him is not the money, really. It's that Yankel was the tzaddik and he was the Russia, quote unquote. He was the bad guy. He was wrong. Okay, I'll go. Let's see the next piece. The next piece is a chinuch about Ari Miklat. Shenetstavu liyisrael losis to shevet Levi orim l'shevets ben akshem chelik baretz. Shenema tzavas neyisrael l'shevim menachas avuzosan orim l'sheves v'nema b'seif ha-parsha kol orim sh'levim abayim shbani ir. So Levim got 48 cities. U'me'ela orim sh'levim hoyimem orim yuchadus yis miklat ha-retzeach. Some of them were specifically dedicated for miklat. U'lom b'chulon hoyilom miklat. But in all of them, if he ran away to any one of the Ari Leviya, he had miklat. And the Chinuch will later describe halachically what the difference in these cities and these cities. Balkoponim, Ar Leviya, the Etzim, are Ari Miklat. Sherish mitzvah yeduahu. Why? Ki shevet Levi mifcha ashvatim. V'nochon avodei seis Hashem. V'elon chelek yimisor b'nachla sarasukram. Shevet Levi is the mufchar of the Shvatim. He's totally dedicated to avodas Hashem. Does not have a chelek in the fields and so on. Avol orim etzikon amar kol ponim shevet b'em v'neim tebem chol chayosim. They have to live someplace. So yes, they were dedicated to Kodesh Baruch Hu, but you've got to have a home to come to. Umipnei goydel malasam v'koyishe pa'olam v'chen erkam. Because they were of such quality, such stature, nifchara artsom likl kohalik nefesh v'shkogis ha'shashvatim ulay techape olav admasam v'desh v'tzvashem. So the first thing he says is that the reason why the Ari Leviya were Ari Miklat, Be'etzim, is because they were Kaddish, and the Levim were special people, very, very elevated people, and hopefully the Rotzeach B'Shogeg will become better because of Hashpah. One. Two. And then he says another incredible point. V'oita macha b'davar, ki b'yoysam ansha levav, yidum b'maylas hamidis, v'chachmas nechbadois. Because they are people of tremendous midas and chachma, yodua lekoil shelo yistimu rotzeach sheinotza lehem, v'lo yigubo. They will not hate the rotzeach, and they won't touch him. Ve'av kiyar gechem evem egoleem, acher asher bepesa b'le eva le'yagenu. And even if the person killed was one of their relatives, because they understand it was done b'shogei. This is an incredible passage. He says, I need to be able to trust the Levium. Most people are going to be kind of very, very vigilante. Hey, this guy's a murderer, he's a tzeach, they should kill him. He said the Levium were people who had a lot of, the midas and the das was such they wouldn't do it. And he brings a proof to it, and it's incredible. The proof is that the Levim were ready to kill their parents by the Chet HaEgel. In other words, the same midah that allowed them to kill a person who deserves to be killed, even if it's a relative, allowed them to save a person who doesn't deserve to be killed, even if it's somebody who caused them such a painful loss. So if we ask ourselves, what is the greatest midah? The Rambam says that the mitzvah of Valachta Bedrachov is first and foremost that everything we do, every expression of emotion, be dictated by the seichel, not come from the emotion. That's the ultimate halacha b'drachav. So that a person emote what is right is by far, far greater than a person who has fine emotions, but they're coming without that. And it's something, if I can go off a second, go on a tangent. I mean, one of the things that's my mind so terrible when you have blogs and people emote, and I'm sometimes amazed at it. Somebody posts some sort of thing and people say they should kill him, they should this, they should da, 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 da. First of all, the idea that you don't know anything about an event and you couldn't have an opinion about it, and secondly, it's just raw emotions, I don't say something. Since when are people supposed to be frum, and people who are supposed to have learned how to deliberate and think through something, shoot from the hip, emotions? It's mobs. That's the worst. The populism is when you speak to emotion and don't let people use seichel, and Am Hashem who. And people learn Torah should have learned to have used seichel and das before they express an emotion, and it's not, it just doesn't seem to be there, and people will love somebody who riles up the emotions and bypasses seichel and das, and the idea that people mock people who think first and then express emotions, it's so hefech Torah, so hefech kedusha. The worst comes out. There's no good emotion that is good if it doesn't come from seichel and das, and people will be destructive. Whatever it is across the board, doing things like that. Vafilo avet, there's a Chazanish writes a letter, and to me it's a paradigm of the opposite of what we talked about. Some Kanoi Mishlaim wanted him to join some sort of demonstration against some whatever it is. And the Chazanish wrote him a letter, and he writes, it's printed in the third Chelik, the emotions of anyone who is God-fearing is resonates with your emotions. And and have tremendous empathy for it. But being that I'm a person who learned Torah through so much difficulty in Yisurim, I've learned to weigh everything with the seichel before I act. And it falls short on the seichel part, and I cannot join you. And this is something, the Kedushas Leviyim is not because they're very, very emotionally holy. It's because their seichel and their das is such that they can control their emotions in both directions under the most difficult of circumstances. Okay.
You have a